Okay. We're going to do the podcast intro.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, lovely. Oh.
I've had 5 hours sleep.
Lovely.
I don't know what's happened.
Yeah. Is it because of the football?
Because of the football, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Hello, everyone, by the way. Welcome along to the very best bits of the week that was. We were just going, oh, lovely, as you heard. And then Andrew says she hasn't had a lot of sleep. It's, yeah, the hours for the football is bad. This is, by the way, at the time of record, it's just gone 10 a.m. on Thursday the 18th. So fully aware that many of you, you know, might not be England fans or even football fans. But we've, as you're about to hear on the podcast, we did some incredible stuff with a really wonderful bunch of people in Croatia.
Yeah.
So it was really important, patriotism aside, that we stayed up and watched the game.
For the show.
For the show. Yeah. It was technically research. Mm. I mean, I don't know. Mm. It was for research purposes. I also enjoyed 2 bottles of white wine throughout it, but that's neither here nor there. So, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do going forward? Have you learnt a valuable lesson and you're going to boycott England games on that late, or are you going to stick with it, Andrea?
I'm going to stick with it, stick with the non-alcoholic beers and stick going to my local, which is quite nice, but it's a bar, not a pub. A lady spilt a bit of her cocktail on me during the game, just to give you a vibe of where I was watching.
Swanky time. It's
very swanky. Matt, you...
I didn't watch the second half.
No.
Yeah. That's where I am with group stage games. I'll watch the first half, and then I'm going to watch the second half with my son later on in the day.
Nice.
That's a nice way of doing it. But so I got a decent amount of sleep. Mm. Old Swiss, how much sleep did you get, producer Old Swiss?
2 hours.
Two hours.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's really bad. And it's 9 o'clock next Tuesday as well for Garner as well.
Yeah,
same time.
Garner, yeah. And the fact that producer Old Swiss had 2 hours sleep, let me just say, it really shows. It really is showing his work today.
It will be audible on this podcast.
Yeah, it really will. It really will be. Shoddy, I think, is the word we're looking for. So what I want to talk about was sometimes we say the radio gods are shining, and it happens on this show, and it has done over the years from time to time. And it's really nice. And basically, that is just our way of putting into a snappy sentence that something's happened that we couldn't control, but it's actually worked out well for us, you know, given what we're discussing on the show, or maybe an item or something we're doing. Once, when we first started at Absolute Radio, we raced Sinclair C5s along Margate Seafront. And we planned this whole thing for months, and we did it, and it was great. We raced against the Home Time boys, Bush and Richie. I highly recommend their podcast if you're in this realm right now, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it turns out the day we picked, we had no idea, was Sir Clive Sinclair's, like, birthday.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just like the radio gods were shining. Yeah. You know,
weird coincidence.
Yeah, just really weird coincidence. Mm. So yesterday, when we were live on air, Matt Dyson was doing the social ammunition, and he did a bit about the Pepto-Bismol advert, which is omnipresent. It's everywhere. It's the one with the song about indigestion, diarrhea.
Yeah, upset stomach. Yeah, you know the rest.
So the radio gods shone, and we weren't even aware of this because we went straight from talking about the Pepto-Bismol advert. And if you were listening on Absolute Radio Country, no word of a lie, and thank you to Becky from Chorley and Sarah in Inverness for messaging in. We went straight into Johnny Cash Ring of Fire.
Really? Perfect. Oh, that is amazing.
They were just saying, this is radio gold.
Wow.
Sarah said it was inspired broadcasting. I just have to fess up, it had nothing to do with us.
Pure
I did not know. Pure coincidence.
Beautiful.
The radio gods were shining. Enjoy the pod.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
It's me, Richie, playing the part of Dave Berry today. Dyson's off as well. Ben Burrell's on holiday. It's all sorts going on. Rich and Andrea, thankfully, are here. Otherwise, I'd take it personally. And the World Cup continues, and everyone is an armchair expert. So what we thought we would do this morning is dip into this armchair expert element of things and ask you what you believe that you are an expert on, and we'll give you the chance to prove it. John Paul has got in touch. He's in Billericay. Good morning, John.
Hi, Richie. Hi, team.
Morning.
Morning.
John, tell us, what do you think you are an armchair expert in then?
So I'm quite fond of capital cities around the world.
Oh, I bet you are good in a pub quiz.
I try to be, yeah. I have had a few goes, but it's not been number one just yet.
Would you say you're a well-travelled man then, John, or is it just you pick up the knowledge?
It's just, I'd like to think I'm well-travelled, but yeah, no, it's mainly just from being a kid just looking on Google Maps, looking at countries, seeing what it's like, and then learning a bit about the capital city. Yeah.
So you've used Google Maps rather than you're not a child of the globe era. You didn't have a globe in your bedroom.
No, unfortunately not. No.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, neither did I. Just to to clarify. All right. Okay. Capital cities. All right. So what we're going to do, JP, John, Paul, John or Paul, what we're going to do? We're going to give ourselves 3 minutes and 39 seconds. That's going to sound very specific, but it's the length of the next song. We are going to give ourselves that time to come up with a 5-question quiz about capital cities and test as to whether you are truly an armchair expert. If you get the 5 right, a Dave Berry sippy cup will be on its way to you. Does that sound fair?
Sounds amazing.
Good.
Do you want me to bring the globe in from outside? So we've got all the
Rich, info. Shush.
Sorry.
Not about the globe on air. We agreed. Right. John Paul, sit there. Get off the Google Maps. We know you haven't got a globe and we'll test you next. John Paul in Billericay has got in touch. John Paul, armchair expert on capital cities. Now, John Paul, we have, in the last 3 minutes, 38 seconds, the producers have come up with a quiz. 5 questions. Mm-hmm. 5 questions. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Your 5 questions on capital cities. Good luck. Question number one. What is the capital of Turkey?
Ankara.
1 out of 1. Of course he knows that because he's an armchair expert on capital cities. Solid start. What is the capital of Rwanda?
Rwanda. Kigali? Kigali?
Correct.
Wow.
Well done. Very, very good. And ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't even have a globe. Okay. The producers are up in the ante a little bit here.
Okay.
Question 3. What is the capital of Antigua and Barbuda?
I would not have a clue. I'm so bad at the Caribbean islands.
Okay, I'm going to give you a multiple choice, and I'm going to make this up on the spot because they haven't given a multiple choice. Is it A, St. John's, B, St. Vincent's, or C, St. Keith's?
As in Keith, as in C, as in K-E-I-T-H.
Yes, but don't go for that one. So, as in A, St. John's, or B, St. What did I say? St. Vincent? St. Vincent.
I assume it's St. John's then.
Correct. 3 out of 3. Well done. Question 4. This is hard. What is the southernmost capital city on the planet? The southernmost capital city?
Wellington.
Whoa! He doesn't know his Caribbean, but he knows his southern capital cities. Right. For the 5 out of 5 for the Dave Berry Sippy Cup, what is the highest capital city in the world?
Is it Kathmandu?
Nepal? I know where Kathmandu is.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a multiple choice, all right? Is it A, Kathmandu, B, La Paz in Bolivia?
Yeah.
Or is it C, St. Keith's?
I'm assuming it's La Paz.
It is La Paz. Brilliant. You are an armchair expert. 5 out of 5.
I think you are more so, Richie, to be fair. You helped me through that one.
A Dave Berry Sippy Cup is on its way to you. John Paul, thanks for being a good sport. We are in awe of you. Well done. And now, an impromptu quiz has been foisted upon me.
Yes, on your armchair expert topic, which is the London Underground. We've got 4 questions for you. I'm going to kick things off. Richie, which underground station is served by more tube lines than any other station on the network?
I'm going to go King's Cross St Pancras.
Give yourself a ding, that is correct.
Thank you very much.
He even said the full thing, didn't he? King's Cross St Pancras. Yeah. Look at that.
Thank you for acknowledging
that. Look at that. Well, that's what I had down as the answer, and if you just said King's Cross, we wouldn't have given it to you. All right, question number 2. There are 2 tube stations that contain all 5 vowels.
Oh, come on. This isn't about trains.
What?
This is like some... Oh, nonsense. Right, OK.
What are they? It's a vocabulary test now.
Oh, I came close to swearing there. This is a ridiculous question.
Come on. You got this. We've got faith in you.
All five vowels?
Yeah.
This is a, this isn't about trains. This is about letters. A... Give me a clue.
Well, the five vowels are A, E... okay, I'll give you... I will give you a clue. Yeah. One of them is a south something. So you've got an O and a U in south, so you need the other ones...
Southminster!
The...
That's not even a tube station. I'm making somewhere up.
No.
South Kensington.
No. Sorry, because there's no A in Kensington, is there?
No.
No.
What is it?
The other one's South Ealing.
Ugh.
Ealing.
Well, that's it, isn't it? I'm
and
out.
Do you want to try and guess the other one? The other one sounds very, very...
Oh, there are two.
Probably the poshest sounding on the whole network. It, like, it's big and it's grand and you'd probably like to live here.
Mansion House.
Correct.
Yes.
There you go. Half a point. Half a point.
Dear. Right, okay. Another one.
All right. How many carriages long is a standard Elizabeth Line train?
Nine.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Thank you.
Milliseconds to answer that. Well done.
Class 345.
Final question. Which two tube stations are alphabetically...
Your questions are absolutely ridiculous, and I do not recognise your questions.
Are alphabetically the first on the network and the last.
Wimbledon and the zoo.
No, the first one and the last one.
Arsenal. No, Acton Town.
Yes.
And...
Come on, you got it, come on.
Westminster. No.
Keep going. Keep going.
Waterloo.
No, keep
no
going.
That's the other way.
You've got the right letter.
Oh, man. Mansion House.
No.
It's
there.
I don't know.
It's there. It's there. It's two words. First one begins with W. I'm trying to help you out here so much. Second one begins with...
Wimbledon.
P.
No.
Two words.
Wimbledon.
W.
I can't keep saying Wimbledon. It's not going to change the answer, is it?
It
what
is.
What is it?
Woodside Park.
Oh.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Matt, it's good to have you back today. Although I understand that yesterday did not go as planned.
No, well, I booked it off quite a while in advance because I knew it was my 7-year-old son Ted's sports day. And he gets very upset if I don't go to his sports day. Weirdly, they have them in the morning at his primary school at 9:30 in the morning, which is it's always been afternoons.
Inconvenient, I think is the word.
For every other child.
Sports days is traditionally an afternoon
event.
Sports day, then go home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you'd leave straight from the field, wouldn't you? But I suppose it would be quite hot then. But anyway, they do it in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Arbor, the school communication app that
love a school communication app.
Just about to take them into school at 8:05 on morning of sports day. Unfortunately, the field is very slippery due to overnight rain, so we've had to cancel sports day today. We will notify you of a new date.
Oh.
So I booked it off, bearing in mind I'm freelance, so I'm out of pocket here.
Oh.
Out of pocket. We tested the grass when I took them up to school. It was not that wet. And what's the worst that's going to happen anyway on a sports day?
Now, first of all, the first thing I say, going back to the point of a 9:30 sports day, if you're going to have that then, all right, that brings into play dew.
Okay. Yeah, it does.
So,
that does.
Such right. A good point. I'm going to feed this back.
They've
thought about dew.
No, they've not thought about dew.
Considered the dew.
It's always going to be wet at that time in the morning.
Of course
isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, I really feel for you.
So annoying. And like, it's not even a proper competitive sports day. It's just like egg and spoon races and stuff.
Proper competitive. How dare you?
But no,
everyone
gets sports bulletin.
Everyone gets a medal just for competing as well.
No.
I know you won't be a fan of that.
No. For taking part, there's got to be a point to it.
Yes. So all in all, not happy. And now Ted's going, oh, do you think you can book next Monday off? Because they've rearranged it now. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to mention the dew. It's not going to happen. Dew, mate. Dew.
I, I, I've always thought as parents, what we should do is keep a diary of the sacrifices that we make that kids don't understand when they're younger.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
and
good.
Then present it. Because now, like, everyone celebrates 18th, 21st appears to be meaningless.
Right.
So maybe on a 21st, they get presented with this ledger of things that we did that they're now old enough to understand.
Idea. Yeah, that's why I didn't go to Sports Day for the second time, because it cost a fortune.
Yeah. That is a last-minute cancellation, a 8:05 cancellation of a 9:30 sports morning. It's irritating. I think the worst cancellation that's last minute that I've experienced in my life. I'm going to sound really old here, but it's not as bad as it was. I think I had the misfortune of going to watch Arsenal on the day of the last ever London Smog. And
no.
1903.
times.
No, it wasn't. Honestly.
Before the clean air stuff came
before
in.
Before the clean air
saying?
Stuff. Oh, and no. You know,
not one... when it was like a brown leather ball for the team to play with. Not that kind of era.
No, we must have been talking like, I don't know, 88 or 89.
Right.
And Dad and I had driven up from Eastbourne and we parked in Highbury.
Yeah.
And then it comes on the radio that Arsenal have been cancelled due to fog.
Oh, wow.
Fog. It was a smog. It was the London smog.
The London smog.
But not a slippy pitch, though. Which is good.
Yeah. The pitch was fine. 3:00 kickoff, you see. Then were the days. Tell us an experience of a last minute cancellation. I think it's, you probably feel better for venting.
Yes, now. Certainly do, yeah.
So have some therapy. Vent about the last minute cancellations that you have suffered. It's a safe space. Some brilliant ones coming through that we'll get into. I guess in some respects, the lack of milk delivery yesterday for me was a last-minute cancellation.
Mm.
Diane has said, I've been listening since 10:06 on yesterday's show. There has been no update
that is true.
About what happened with the milk.
What did happen with the milk?
The milk arrived at 2:00 yesterday afternoon.
Oh, do you have a milkman?
Yes.
Really? Wow, yes. How old school.
Yes,
wow.
Mondays and Fridays.
Oh, right, milk and more.
Oh, Matt, we went through all of this
sorry,
yesterday.
Please, sorry.
Not again.
Go over it
not again.
Again.
But the thing is, the milk arrived at 2, but didn't know it arrived at 2. So when I got it in at about 5:30 in the afternoon, it was very sweaty.
Oh, no, you don't want
sweaty
that.
Sweaty milk.
Do you not have your ring doorbell didn't tell you it was there?
It was on silent because I was resting, having done the breakfast show.
I see.
Tough day for you yesterday, wasn't it? No milk,
breakfast
show, you missed the delivery.
How he copes. Clive Edwards has been in touch. He's very, very angry. He's put 20 angry face emojis, which is a record as far as I'm concerned. But Grand Canyon skydive cancelled, he says. He does it in like bullet points. I quite like his delivery. Holiday of a lifetime, driving Route 66, detoured off to Grand Canyon, 2-night expensive stay, arrived at airport for 7 a.m. jump, A4 paper on the counter, all parachute jumps cancelled due to bad weather. No text, no email, not a single person in the building. Absolutely glorious weather with no wind at all and no one to shout at. Clive's still very angry about this.
I think if I was due to jump out of a plane and someone had just left a sheet of A4 paper, I'd say I've dodged the bullet.
Yes, it was meant to be.
Smiley, happy face emojis. Yeah.
Sarah in Lymington says, 10 minutes away from seeing Amy Winehouse at the Bournemouth International Centre when on the radio there was an announcement saying the show was cancelled. My husband then decided we would drive to B&Q to look for a kettle. Sadly, Amy never performed again, but we have a kettle steaming in the kitchen.
Oh. Sarah. Weird little twist.
It's the twist. I personally as well, with all due respect to B&Q, I don't think that would have been my first port of call for a kettle.
No, they must have needed a new one.
Yeah.
I suppose. Yeah.
And found one. Rob is hanging on. Your last-minute cancellation, Rob.
My last-minute cancellation was we were on our way to the driving test zone and my instructor decided to have an accident. And crashed the car.
No!
So, literally 5 minutes. Stop laughing. We're literally 5 minutes away from the test centre and bang.
So, to clarify, who was driving? The driving instructor?
The driving instructor, yeah. He turned around and said, like, I'll drive to the test centre. He said, save you getting all nervous and all that sort of stuff. And I said, okay, that's fine. And 5 minutes, just as we're about to turn into the Southend test centre. crash. And that was it.
You should have used the dual controls to slam the brakes on.
When did you pass in the end, Rob?
I ended up passing when I went into the army in 1986. A little bit of a shock.
To took you a while to get over it.
Driving instructor. Yeah, because obviously mobile phones weren't around. I had to walk to the test centre and turn around and say to them, I can't do my test today because my driving instructor just smashed the car up. They looked at me like I was like, oh yeah, what's this excuse? We've not heard this one before. But yeah, hey ho, it happened.
Brilliant, good to talk to you, Rob.
I don't want to talk about. And you guys, take care.
Bye-bye.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
It's the social ammunition, which I believe stars me at some point,
it
Matt.
Does, Dave,
which
yeah.
is nice, isn't
yeah,
it?
You were on our WhatsApp breakfast group, which I suppose is like social media, isn't it? And it's all reaction to the huge win for England at the World Cup. The brace for Harry Kane. What a night it was. I only stayed up till half time. It was quite underwhelmed.
You missed all
then.
The good stuff.
And I missed all the good half. But me and my 7-year-old son Ted had to get to bed.
Yeah.
And
nice,
I just enough. Thought, oh no, it's just the same old England again, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it got a lot better. So that was nice. And also before the match on ITV, we were treated to with the obligatory spoken word section to rouse the nation with some sort of
stop poetry. Doing
it! Zoomed in on an actor's
face. It's the
face.
Scourge of modern
really
football.
Is. It's such a cliche now that it's beyond the joke. So ITV, they got Tom Hiddleston to do it, right?
Which is even worse.
Dave was reacting as soon as it happened, right? Tom Hiddleston also did one for The Athletic on their socials. Tom Hiddleston's just doing poetry left, right and centre ahead of the England game. This, he went all Shakespearean for The Athletic.
No.
Play with joy. Play with the joy that is in you, that we've seen in you year on year on year.
All right, mate.
We believe in you.
It's so embarrassing.
We love you for who you are and what you do. You've got this. We believe it's England all the way to the end. Once more onto the breach, dear friends.
Oh, no!
Once more. Now set the teeth. Stretch the nostril wide. Hold hard the breath and imitate the action of the tiger.
Stop
this.
Stop.
Come on, England.
Set the nostrils. Why? What, do you want them to use nose strips?
So basically, to give you a little bit of an insight here, I was watching the football and then Tom Hiddleston appeared on screen and he started doing...
Yeah. Michael Sheen, is he?
He's no Michael Sheen. No. We need Michael Sheen. And this isn't so much against Tom Hiddleston. It's just this spoken word poetry in sport. It just has to stop.
TV coverage.
It really, and I called this years ago.
You did.
The first time I saw it happen, I thought, hang on, they're going to like this. TV execs are going to like this, and it's going to be all over the game soon. It really is. I mean, we talk about, you know, the scourge of modern football being, you know, inflated wages for players and
VAR.
How difficult it is for fans to afford to go to games. It's not, it's spoken word poetry.
It's spoken word.
It's the real.
Stop.
So as soon as Tom Hiddleston came on screen, I did a very rare thing and I entered the breakfast show WhatsApp group and I said, that's it, I'm going to bed, I hope Croatia win. That's how much it affected
Hiddleston
me.
Ruined the night for you.
And then just for fun, like sat on a sofa at home with my family, just for fun, I did this.
Tick tock, boys. The time has arrived. Time to shine, to feel, to touch, to know. The nation is behind you. Feel, tick. Talk, boys. The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking towards success, to raising the trophy above our heads. Tick tock, boys. Come on, this is our time. This is our time to shine, boys. To shine. Yes, boys. The World Cup is ours.
I think you could get the gig.
But the thing is that no one cares. That has as much impact as Tom Hiddleston doing it. Nobody cares.
I think it's part of the reason we were so bad in the first half. It's because the players are aware of what's going on. Stop the spoken
Jude
word.
Jude Bellingham does not want this.
We need to draw a line in the sand here and now. Well done, Dave.
Thank you. And I'm going to be making this widely available just
for the talk, boys.
Throughout the tournament. I'll put it on my Instagram.
Yeah. A Freudian slip from friend of the show, Harry Judd, has gone viral. The McFly man sometimes guests for Gok on the Magic Breakfast Show.
He does.
Chatting to Harriet the other day, this bizarre slip up.
So, Harriet.
Yes, Harry.
Sometimes in life, because I've been fortunate enough to have some sex
Oh my God.
Whoa.
I meant to say success. And I just said sex. So.
I've been fortunate enough to have some of that. Yeah, wow. Clearly very successful.
Do you remember that time you piped up and said exactly the same thing?
Yeah. This is stuff of nightmares. This is stuff of radio anxiety dreams, isn't it? But fair play to him. And then I have another update on how we pronounce a supermarket name. We recently had Londis, London District
Stores.
Londis,
I'm going down
Londis. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. Annabelle Port, who does the brilliant The Other British Museum.
Oh, she's fantastic.
She's got an update for us on how we've all been pronouncing Waitrose wrong.
No.
All of our lives.
It began in 1904 as a small grocer's in Acton, West London, called Waitrose and Taylor, having been founded by Messrs. Wallace Waite, Arthur Rose and David Taylor. Taylor left a few years later as his name wasn't as fun as the others, and in 1908 they changed the name to Waitrose. But all this means that if it's Waitrose after the founders Waite and Rose, surely it should be Waitrose. I contacted them to find out, and they said, the pronunciation Waitrose is the original way, as it comes from the founders' last names Waite and Rose. It's unclear when this morphed into Waitrose, but it slowly became the norm, and Waitrose just went along with it. But if you want to be both correct and retro, you should say Waitrose.
I'm going to go retro from now on. I'm a traditionalist.
You're going to go for it?
It's strictly Waitrose for
me. I back your move.
Yeah. I tried to think what's next. Was it Al and Di, a German couple who invented Aldi?
They're a lovely couple.
We'll find that soon.
Tonight, Scotland versus Morocco kicks off at 11 p.m.
Oh, yeah. They've got really bad draw when it comes to late night kickoffs, haven't they?
Yeah, but looking at the group, obviously Scotland won their opening game, beating Haiti 1-0. They're currently top of Group C because Morocco drew with Brazil.
Yeah, Morocco look good, though.
Morocco do look good, but I have every faith that Scotland can do it.
Yeah,
you know?
And they don't need to have a bank holiday tomorrow because it's Saturday, so that's good, isn't it? They can rest without taking the whole day off.
And then you beat Morocco, and then it's just have some fun against Brazil.
Yeah, exactly.
Break off, guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, pretty much they'd be through, wouldn't they? So it's a very exciting time for all Scotland fans, and they've been in Boston for days now, partying on
days.
The streets. For days, bruv.
They have.
So they've been bringing about positive change to the local cuisine as well. This is huge news. Haggis is now legal in the States. The Scottish staple was banned since 1971.
Why?
Under federal,
what a strange year.
Federal, I know, strange time to realise.
I thought it was like 1871.
Wait a minute, what's in this stuff? Oh, they looked it up because federal food regulations banned it because it contains sheep's lungs.
Make haggis legal again.
Exactly. So sheep's lungs are fair enough. They don't like sheep's lungs, but I'm not taking lectures from a country that chlorinates chicken.
Yeah.
So it's quite rightly, it should be legal. So a petition was started by a guy called Simon Howie.
Morning, Simon.
Got like loads of signatures, and now he went to meet with the Massachusetts governor, Maura Healey, and she signed a legal document to bring spicy offal back to the people of Boston. Here she is.
Steakhouse. Boston. Okay.
Governor, what have we just signed?
We've made haggis legal in Massachusetts.
Official.
Yes, what a result. Brilliant. They've made haggis legal again. Lovely stuff. And while in Boston, a local off-licence has gone viral as well, because all Scottish fans are taking pictures outside this shop because of the shop's name. It's called Jobby, the shop, right? It's a liquor store, so its full name is Jobby Liquors, right? So they sell liquor. They've actually... And it's become like a local... A landmark in Boston. Jobby Liquors. And they're selling out a beer. The owner is a guy called Jimmy Ryan, right? He says...
Who's retiring early now.
He can't cope with demand because Scottish fans are flocking to get their pictures taken outside the shop with a funny name. He says, why is it called Jobby? Because it's an amalgamation of his mum and dad's names, Joan and Billy. So
Joan and Billy.
It's like Waitrose.
Oh, it's like Waitrose.
With Jobby is the conclusion.
Oh,
so
no.
We've come full circle this week from Waitrose to Jobby Liquors.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
Welcome along to the Dave Berry Breakfast Show. It is great to be back, and I'm just in time for National Mascot Day. That's what you're celebrating today.
What a famous day.
It celebrates the spirited characters that bring life and energy to your favourite teams.
Yes.
And as the World Cup's on and it's the first England game later on today, we thought we'd talk mascots for a little
bit. Yeah, we love them, especially when they look somber during a minute's silence. That's when they really come into their own, doesn't it? The football mascot.
My football mascot kind of story really involves Charlton Athletic getting promoted to the Championship under the stewardship of the legendary Chris Powell. Or Sir Chris, as we call him at the Valley. Harvey and Floyd, a dog and a cat, were our two mascots.
Oh, were they?
And there's a professional photographer, I feel so blessed, a professional photographer, there was like, not a pitch invasion, but people were kind of getting into it. And they captured this picture of Harvey and Floyd, like, just flinging me in the air.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and I just looked so happy. I genuinely look happy. I think it's one of the only times I've genuinely been happy.
You can't help but be happy around a mascot.
Yeah, they're just chucking
they're
me about.
Fun guys.
They were willy-nilly. So, Matt, you were nearly in one.
Oh, you know, for a while, Forrest had a mascot called Sherwood the Bear. And I grew up in Sherwood, so I loved Sherwood the Bear. But what they used to do, the person inside was someone who worked at Capital One.
Oh, that takes the shine off.
They had a massive office in the centre of Nottingham.
Yeah.
Loads of people worked there. I used to play football with loads of guys that worked at Capital One. And they said, look, one of us does it every game. So we'll let you do it.
What an unusual perk of the job of working in finance.
It's a very weird perk of the job. But every week or every couple of weeks, they'd have a competition and the winner would go in Sherwood the Bear, go inside the mascot's costume. Yeah. I should say. And one of the couple of lads said, yeah, we'll let you do it. Come on and do it. But then it got stopped at the last minute because you actually had to work for the company to do it. So they said no. I was this close to being a mascot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sadly. It would have been a bear in a bear, wouldn't it?
It would have been, yeah.
The producers have been working diligently given the hour of the morning we're here. And they've if you have a little look on our shared doc, you'll see me.
That's the picture. That's
not the picture. That's another picture that I've never seen before. But I love that. I'm kissing.
You're kissing
I'm
a
kissing
mascot.
Floyd the dog. Things escalated quickly. First bit, you have a little smooch on the lips, then they're chucking you in the air.
You really did have a great time.
Wow. Anyway, happy Mascot Day, everybody. At least once a week, I like to celebrate your freakery by getting you to complete the sentence, is it weird that? Now, whatever it may be, we have had some strange individuals on this show over the years, and we celebrate them. We continue to do so. As I say, the number is 81215. Is it weird that? And I'm going to get us underway because is it weird that an email has just dropped into the Hypebeast Womble executive producer Mark's inbox and it comes from a radio station in Croatia and they want to talk to us live on both this breakfast show and their breakfast show simultaneously. And all they're saying is they have a challenge for us.
Oh, ahead of the big game tonight.
That
come
is
on.
Weird, isn't it? It's weird. We're going to have a little look into it and see what their plans are. But we could be live on radio in Croatia this morning.
Wow.
Just after 8.
We're going international.
We are going international at last, I say. So we're going to investigate that. But in the meantime, get yours in at 8:12:15. Is it weird that? And somebody asked, is it weird that I get seasick in the bath?
Oh,
anonymous
wow.
text there.
I feel
it's
like
that is.
Not
physically possible, is it?
Can we get a medical professional get in touch with us on this one? I do
isn't
not
it that,
believe that.
Are you
that.
Slipping and sliding up and down?
How big is the bath?
Do you have to do?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's
a, is it a jacuzzi? Are the bubbles being added, maybe?
I've accidentally read out a humble brag. This is someone showing off, isn't it?
Yeah, because my bath is so high-tech.
Hey, guys, is anyone else getting seasick in the bath? Morning, Dave. Is it weird that I like to hold a bath button whilst I go to sleep? This started because one of my duvet sets has material buttons at the top of duvet and on the pillowcase. My partner says this is weird, but I asked Google and it said it's normal, like having a blanket or a soft toy. Unfortunately, Google didn't know that Lisa is 47 years old.
I must be hungry because I thought chocolate button? That's going to make a mess.
Do you have a little grapple or something? Do you have a little grapple?
Your Gemini AI assistant will tell you everything's normal, but that is bizarre. And you need to grow out of it, frankly.
Well, it gets even more bizarre, Matt, because Lisa is the mum of a 19-year-old listener who texted on this very same feature not too long ago. This is the guy who defrosts his bacon in the shower.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're related.
So Lisa's only conclusion she could jump to, and it's on her message, is maybe we're all weird. And I think the answer to that, Lisa, might be a resounding yes.
Good morning, England. Good morning, London.
Dobro jutro, Ivana. Dobro jutro.
Dobro jutro. Bravo.
Zagrad calling. Hello.
Yeah. Hello. We have the Dave Berry Breakfast Show with Dave and Matt.
Hello.
First of all, hello. Before we get into Kane versus Modric, before we get into the game, I just have to say for all the radio fans, and we have them in Croatia, you are a big inspiration. You really do great radio, so it's an absolute delightful honor to have you here.
Ivana, Philip, Bruno, thank you very much indeed for your kind words. That is so lovely, and it's nice that we've started on this friendly tone, because we know later this evening things are going to get dark and nasty.
Oh yeah.
So, what are your expectations about tonight?
My expectations for tonight are to see Harry Kane equal Sir David Beckham's caps and get 115. But of course, that is small potatoes to your very own Luka Modric, who I believe is going to get his 199th cap tonight. Is that correct?
You came with all the information. That's right.
That's correct. Yeah, yeah.
I can't believe he's still playing. At the age of 40.
Yeah, he's 67 years old, isn't he? Is he getting his bus pass there to the ground in the States?
So it's going to be Clash of Titans. Yeah, Kane versus Modric. And what is the vibration in the country? What's the feeling in general?
I think the feeling in general is, why are these games on so late? That aside, I don't know if it's the same for you guys in Croatia, but that aside, I think we're feeling optimistic. I mean, I think we have Thomas Tuchel's come in and he's made some changes and he's made some decisions when it comes to the squad that I don't think a lot of England fans possibly back. I think there was an opportunity to bring in Trent Alexander-Arnold after the injury at right back, and he's chosen not to do that and bring in a player who doesn't play that often for his club in Chelsea. Yeah. But if you listen to Bellingham and the players talk about the mood in the camp, which is all important, apparently they're really raring to go.
We must trust in Tommy Tuchel.
I just wanted to ask, how do you live with a German leading your team?
Oh, that's a big question, isn't it? I think it's a global sport and it's an international game. Yes. And that's going to be my polite answer to your question there. Thank you very much indeed. Move on. Next question.
It's so weird.
Fair enough.
So, before we get into our challenge, I just need to say everybody's talking about the heat, so that the English players are not good with heat. Is that correct or not?
Well, personally speaking, I wilt in the heat. But then again, I'm rubbish at football, so it makes no difference to the England team.
Declan Rice has been getting sunburned. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of issues. We've just got to make it to the hydration break without breaking down.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so can we make a deal? If Croatia wins tonight, and Croatia will probably win,
of course.
Yeah. So, tomorrow live on your morning show, we will sing and you will play our song, Srce Vatreno.
Fiery Heart.
Fiery Heart. And if England wins, if you win, then you're going to do the same thing with Three Lions on air on Bravo.
Okay, so Three Lions is going to be played on your prestigious breakfast show on Bravo tomorrow morning if England win. That's what you're saying, Ivana?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes, correct.
Okay, now let me ask you, because I had a little listen to Fiery Heart, and I must admit, I quite like it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot going on there. I mean, that song is as long as Modric is old.
Yeah.
That's a low blow.
But of course, we're like, what if it's a draw? Ivana, what are your thoughts if it's a draw?
Yeah, we thought about it and
still play the fiery card.
So do we both play both songs if it's a draw?
Yeah.
I think it's a good deal.
Yeah, it's a good deal. Yeah.
On top of each other, so it's just a mad sound clash. Great.
On top of each other. That would be great. Now, okay, we have a deal. Yeah.
We have a deal. Let's shake on it. Yeah, it's a deal.
Yeah. It's a deal. Let's shake on
hand
it.
Hand to hand, yeah.
Hand to hand. It's okay. Tomorrow morning, we're live. It was very nice to hear with you, and have a nice game.
Good luck.
We would say good luck. No, no.
Ivana, guys, thank you so much for inviting us on to Bravo. It's been a real pleasure, and we'll speak to you again tomorrow when England win 3-0. Cheers, guys. Lots of love. Well, that was fun.
Weren't they lovely?
Really, really lovely. Thank you to Ivana, Philip and Bruno for their time and for setting us a challenge. I am, you know, now we're not live on Croatian radio. Mm. I'm pretty confident that England are going to win tonight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it might be a draw, but yeah, we really should be winning this.
We should be winning this. We didn't want to say that in their faces because we're polite people, of course. You know, there's only so far you can take trash talking,
exactly,
I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
But this basically means that you wouldn't get to hear Fiery Heart, which is the song they were bringing to the table, Nered featuring Zabarezik Boys.
Yeah, I love that.
So I thought I'd play you a little bit of it now.
We could be getting this in full. So imagine tomorrow morning we're all really gutted after England lose their opening match and then we have to play this.
We've already had an email from the music scheduling team going, what would you play across all the stations on the network today?
Yes.
I'm going to have to. I shook hands with Ivana. It's going to have to happen.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Well, yes, I know what you're all thinking. It is definitely time to talk about it. It's time to discuss International Picnic Day.
International as well.
International. You can join a picnic-centric event, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. Picnic-centric is a new word for me.
I'm very picnic-centric. You know me.
Why is everyone saying the word picky bits all of a sudden?
Well, everyone's obsessed with picky bits, aren't they?
Go down to Waitrose and get them.
For picky bits or M&S. Yes, get your picky bits. Get them. Get a rug out. I'd say probably best not to go do it on the beach because sand in a sandwich is the worst possible thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, everyone's got to have a picnic rug or a blanket of some sort in the boot of their car, haven't they?
No, I don't know if they have to have them in the boot of their car, but I've got a Wimbledon, which kicks off next week. I've got a Wimbledon picnic blanket.
Oh, wow.
I was unfortunately asked to leave Wimbledon.
Had you overindulged in the squash in the Robinson's barley water?
One too many Robinson's on centre court.
Shots of barley
but
water.
They weren't taking that picnic blanket away from me. No, sirree, Bob.
And you've still got it.
I have still got it. It's a timely reminder of how to behave properly at the tennis.
But they'll never let you back into the All England
club. No, no. And that was just in case any of our friends at Wimbledon are listening. That was now 10 years ago. Yeah. So come on, guys.
Yeah, give a go, break. He's done his time.
I've turned International Picnic Day into a plead, come and get me, to the organisers of Wimbledon. I'm a changed person. Yes. I am. I'll even bring your picnic blanket back with me, I promise. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. We were asked to leave an erotic dancing club in London's Mayfair. We'd been to a pole dancing lesson for a hen party and stayed on. We got a little rowdy and were politely asked to leave after talking to the dancers.
Wow.
It's the same thing that happened to Matt.
Yeah.
Blow by blow.
Yeah, I did get into pole dancing. It's a great exercise, yeah.
I've learned to pole dance.
Have you?
I genuinely have.
I actually have had a lesson
once
for a radio thing.
I've also had one, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, we're all doing it.
It's a thing they did about 15 years ago with all radio people.
Yeah,
like, you must try pole dancing.
Yeah, I think that's why I did it as well. Mm. The thing I remember is the person who was instructing me to pole dance, they were in the process of having what the inside of their body looked like tattooed on the outside of their body.
Oh, right. Well,
how arty.
Yeah, so like they had a shaved head, the side of their head was just like, it was like brain. You could see brain.
Wow.
And they had like tendons on the wrist and that was the process they were going through.
And they were going to cover the whole body. So it's like
exactly.
No skin.
They told me that and then I asked myself to politely leave.
Yeah, you were sick.
I'm out of here. And Jim, who's currently walking the dogs in Preston, says, good morning, Dave and the team. I was once politely asked to leave Old Trafford during an after-dinner speech by Manchester United club legend Wilf McGuinness. Unfortunately, it was a free bar.
Oh, yeah, that's often the problem.
And my mobile phone went off, and I went full Dom Jolly. There's a reference.
Hello! I'm just listening to a speech by Will!
About 10 seconds into the conversation, I felt the dreaded tap on the shoulder, and I was politely asked to leave.
Yeah, quite right, too.
Ray in Colchester says, "Hi, Dave and the team. I was politely asked to leave a trendy London bar when dressed as Olympic swimming legend Mark Spitz on a stag weekend." Now, we had to Google image Mark Spitz.
Yeah.
What a look.
Yes.
Ray was full budgie smugglers, wig, tash and medals around the neck.
Right, yes, yeah, yeah.
And that the folk at the quote-unquote trendy London bar, they did not like
not
it. Now, what I love about this is Leona, who's going to be here on the main station just after us at 10 a.m, so in just over an hour's time, she's messaged you.
Yeah, Mark. She doesn't often send me a WhatsApp message. When she does, it packs quite a punch.
Go on.
She just says, "I was politely asked to leave one of my secondary schools."
Yes!
Love that.
Heavy metal rebel.
Yes,
that. From the Queen of Rock. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. Back in the early 1990s, after a 12-hour shift which started at 5 a.m., we went to see a Stephen Fry play in the West End. What a life Chris in Bingley was leading back then. Partway through the second half, stewards woke us up and politely asked us to leave because we were snoring very loudly.
No. Dear darling friend of the show, Stephen Fry, does not like that.
Imagine Stephen on stage and you can hear it. It's not
like
good
that.
For your confidence, is it?
Thank you very much indeed, Chris in Bingley.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Dobro
Jutro!
Dobro Jutro! How are you feeling this morning, guys?
Well,
we've been better, you know.
We've seen better mornings. So it was dark and it was nasty yesterday.
For us.
I told you it would be. I told you that we were getting on so well, and I've become a huge fan of Croatian soft rock, listening to the brilliant radio show that you do every morning on Bravo.
But
I told you it would get dark. I told you it would get nasty, and it doesn't get any darker or nastier than that second half. What a performance from England.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
You put a quite a show. Yeah, you did.
To be fair, in the first half, I think you were good for the draw. You really deserved to go in at halftime with 2-2 scoreline.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the kind words of consolation.
But the first goal, I mean.
Okay, can you just admit that our 2 goals were prettier than your 4?
I mean, it's like choosing a favourite child, but Croatia scored a couple of beautiful
they were
goals.
Good. They were good goals, yeah.
But they're meaningless, of course, though, aren't they? Absolutely meaningless.
You don't have to say it like that, you know.
You know, my prediction, women's perspective is that we're going to see each other maybe in half finals or finals again. So England and Croatia will play again.
You know, I would love that because, you know, getting to know you guys a little bit and, you know, your kind words and being guests on your brilliant show, I really hope we do get to meet Croatia again so that you get to come onto our show. We would love that further down the line. But for now, and before I get the great honour of introducing Three Lions on your, as I say, brilliant breakfast show, I'm going to try some Croatian here. Are you ready for this, guys? Vojsu dečki dob ili teška batina.
Say it again, please. Say it again.
Should I? Are you sure about that? Okay, Ivana, here we go. Vojsu dečki dob ili teška batina.
Bravo.
That's brilliant. Congrats. Congrats on the win. Congrats on this Croatian. That was fabulous.
Just for all the listeners to Absolute Radio, I just said your boys took one hell of a beating.
One hell of a beating.
I love that, guys. I love that. Yeah.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Welcome along to the Dave Berry Breakfast Show on National Pets in Film Day. National Pets in Film Day celebrates the furry, feathered, or even scaly stars that steal our hearts on screen.
Of course, yeah, Snakes on a Plane.
Snakes on a Plane.
They were great.
That's
they?
My favourite bit in any movie.
The snakes in Indiana Jones are pretty good as well.
Oh, they were
some
very
really good.
Good
snakes.
I like that giant stick insect that's on the back of Indiana Jones's leather jacket.
Oh, yes.
In
yeah,
a Temple
yeah.
of Doom.
Yeah, really scary. Really scary.
You will go to Pencott Palace and bring back the stone.
Yes.
But those stick insects, they have stuck with me. Yeah, Kali Marsham Niday. Bless you.
Yeah, those
stick insects have stuck with me.
They were great, yeah. Really
they were, good. Yeah, they were disturbing. They were unsettling.
Yeah, I'd never seen them before at that stage in my life.
No.
I've never seen anything like
because growing
it,
up in Nottingham and South London, there's not massive stick insects anywhere, are there?
No, no.
Unless you take that trip to London Zoo and you're in that hot room,
yeah,
you know,
exactly,
you're in that hot bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, if we keep it on the Indiana Jones theme, because we've done snakes from Raiders of the Lost Ark, got the stick insects from Temple of Doom.
God, I knew you'd know all of these, yeah.
If we're going to go Last Crusade, the rats under the streets of Venice.
Yes,
the actual thing that he was actually scared of, wasn't he?
So they're all good.
A lot of good animals in those films, yeah.
Can you name anything more cutesy than rats, stick insects or snakes?
Yeah, a little bit more cute. Beethoven, do you remember that movie? The Big Sir Bernard?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. I had the poster as a kid.
What poster did you have on your wall as a kid?
I used to get them from the video shop, so I used to get
let me just explain to Andrew what that is.
Yeah.
So there's a video, right? So what did you used to get?
I had loads of different ones, but Lost Boys. I remember having
Lost
Boys.
Oh, that's a good one.
For a long time, yeah. That stayed up for a long
that's
time.
That's a cool
one. What did you have?
I had Wayne's World 2 was a big one for me. Wayne and Garth and Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, a celebrity dog heartthrob on your wall is quite a strange choice, though.
Yeah.
For a young girl.
Hey.
Were your parents worried?
No.
It's cute. Why don't take that away from Andrew's childhood?
They wouldn't let me have a pet, so they had to let me have the poster.
Fair play to them. Much cheaper.
I must give a little word of warning, whether you remember it from the first time round, like Andrea so fondly does, and that's lovely, but, you know, Beethoven's entered my world again because my daughter, who's 7, really loves it. There are some really rubbish sequels to Beethoven.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Before you go splurging your £3.49 on Sky Store, be warned. Be warned. Right, it's on with the show. We're on a mission to write the comprehensive list of the fine folk of the UK's unusual trust issues, like jobby liquors, buying a four-pack in there, you know.
You wouldn't trust that.
I don't trust it at all. So 8, 12, 15 is the number. Come and join in. The waters are just fine. And so far on the list, we've got people who swing their arms whilst walking. We've got people who arrive at work with wet hair.
Yes.
People who wear the plastic gloves at petrol stations whilst filling up at the pump. People who enjoy marzipan. People who use the term buddy or pal. People who open their eyes underwater without wearing goggles. Men with blonde hair. People who buy sandwiches or wraps from small franchise petrol stations. And of course, a legend of the unusual trust issues list. All together now, people with tiny mouths.
Tiny, small, yeah.
So, you know, what can we add to the list next? And joining us right now on line one, we have Michelle. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team.
Michelle, welcome along to the show. So Michelle is currently parked up in the car next to her son, Dylan. So good morning, Dylan.
Morning.
Morning, Dylan. Morning. So, Michelle, this is your unusual trust issue. Tell everybody what it is.
People with visible nose hairs.
People with visible nose hairs.
Yes, Michelle, yes.
See, when this popped into the studio, we had to call you and get you on because, Matt, you think there's levels here.
Well, I think maybe once you're over the age of, say, 80, then it's sort of all right because you've sort of given up on your appearance.
Is that the excuse you're using?
Yeah. So, like, when you're like an old... Yeah, I keep my nose hair trimmed back. It's my life's mission, mate. And I'm dealing with a lot.
You've got a lot going on there.
It's possibly thatched up there. I've got trimmers... I'm plucking, I'm using scissors. You don't need to know the detail, Andrea. You can't leave the house with it on display.
No.
I mean, I think that's fair enough. But if you're an elderly person, I think it's all right when you're a bit older.
Yeah, but you've got a lot going on hair suit-wise anyway, haven't you? I mean, there's a lot
going on.
There's a lot of maintenance.
They call me the hairy situation for nothing. So, yeah, I've got to get a strimmer to myself, the whole body sometimes.
But the nose is a priority for you.
The nose is a priority.
But you're okay with the back, the neck and the shoulders and all that?
I mean, you've got to pick your battles, haven't you?
If we're talking about your nose, have you ever had a wax? Have you ever done the
full? Oh, yes, I have. It's amazing.
On this very show.
One of the best things I've ever done because
on
this
do it
very
again.
Show.
Yeah,
I'd love
do
to do it again.
Again.
The aftermath is so smooth. It feels so smooth. It's like nothing I've ever. It's really good.
I'm so committed to a hair free nose, Michelle, right? that one of the only times I've ever made my daughter cry was when I was self waxing at home. I heated up the tub in the microwave. I got one of the little chopsticks from a takeaway. I put it in there and I shoved it in my nose. And just as I did that, she walked into the kitchen and I just had it dangling at the end of my nose like this biro is right now. And she just looked at me and went, I want to be so hair free in the nose department, I will make my own child cry. That's how far I'm willing. Do you like that commitment to it, Michelle?
There's just no better commitment.
That's the level that we're looking for. Michelle, have a great day ahead. Thanks for bringing this to our attention. We are going to put it on the list of the UK's unusual trust issues. Have a fabulous weekend ahead. And Dan's got in touch saying, Dave, I don't trust people who pat your back when they cuddle you. Oh, Dan.
Yeah, it can be quite an aggressive move, can't it? The aggressive pat. I think I use it sparingly.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, because of your massive hands.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to be careful.
You've broken a lot of people, though, haven't you?
With comes great responsibility.
With massive hands comes great responsibility.
But yeah, I think it's quite nice, generally.
A reassuring pat.
Yeah.
But it just makes me feel sorry for Dan. It's one of the most tragic tales I've ever seen, packed into, 11 words?
Yeah,
man. You know, it's crazy.
Maybe it brings back memories of being burped as a baby.
Maybe that's what Dan's issue. Yeah. Just get, you finish hugging Dan, you look at your shoulder, you've got the white mucus there. Yeah.
A little bit of posset on your jumper. Oh, dear.
Morning, team. Craig from Lincolnshire. My gran, who was born in the early 20s, used to say, never trust a man who has a pouch wallet.
Whoa, what a lovely old saying that is.
I have no idea why that was her opinion, but there you are. You don't see pouch wallets very often nowadays. Maybe gran had something to do with it, says Craig. I mean, we Google imaged pouch wallets.
You can't even find them. It's just
like a little, there must have been a little leather sacking, medieval.
Drawstring
bag. Yeah, like a Robin Hood type thing.
Yes. The closest now is the Velcro wallet hanging from a chain.
You can't trust those either.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah.
I mean, I like to keep my coins in one of those plastic tubes that I wear around my neck.
That's fine.
I mean, I'm a totally trustworthy guy. When I rock up at the spoons later on with my little thing around my neck, you know,
just count some coins out for you, Barky.
100%. I'm going to squeeze in one last unusual trust issue here. From Laura in West Bromwich. She says, good morning, Dave, good morning, team. My nan, so we've had a couple from nans. Maybe there's a generational spin-off to this regular feature.
Things your grandparents didn't trust, I'm not sure.
Maybe not. My nan didn't trust microwaves.
Oh.
She said you couldn't look at them whilst they were cooking or it would damage your eyes.
Not sure that's true, but I feel like I would have been that nan. Very distrustful of modern technology.
Laura says she still can't look her microwave in the eye because of this.
Where's its eye? But yes, I know what you mean.
Thank you very much indeed, Laura. Thank you, everybody, for sending in your unusual trust issues. Of course, you can continue to do so. This will definitely be back on The Breakfast Show next week at some point. My email address, dave@absoluteradio.co.uk. Or, of course, you can text them into the studio right now, live and direct, at 8:12:15.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.